Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. And we got a great show for you guys today. We are talking the state of Texas as we're looking at the Texas A&M Aggies today and the Dallas Cowboys, continuing our preview in college football and in the NFL. We got Matt Horner joining us in the middle of the show. Get a lot of great stuff from Matt. Been very profitable when we have had him on the show with his baseball bets. We will give out our baseball bets during the show today during Big League Peach. Got some games going on right now. We'll update you on those scores. Then we'll get into some games later on today, and then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays for today. We got baseball bets, we got Olympic bets, we got France and Germany going on right now with the French up by 8 in the fourth quarter. If you listened to the show yesterday, you would have known that we like France plus 5.5. So that bet is looking good. A lot to get to today. As always, any questions, comments, best bets, thoughts that you guys have for us, you can go to twitch.tv/BetQL. You can go to YouTube/Odyssey Sports. You can go on X at the BetQL app. However you want to reach us, send in any thoughts that you guys have. And if you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, we got you covered with the Send It In podcast, available wherever you guys get your podcast. Let's get this thing rolling. Glasses in session. And my producer, Shawnee Sharp, brought up a great point today. Texas A&M and the Dallas Cowboys, who we're going to preview, feels like they're the same teams, right? Ton of expectations every year. We know A&M under Jimbo Fisher had all those great recruiting classes. They're always projected probably to finish a little better than how good their teams are. And this year in College Station, it really feels like the expectations have kind of quieted down. With Georgia obviously being the number one team in the country, with Saban retiring in the offseason, with Texas joining the SEC, with Ole Miss being a team that a lot of people likes, feels like Texas A&M this year, who's 12-1 to win the SEC, is certainly one of those teams that not a lot of people are talking about, certainly compared to years past. Connor Wegman does return at quarterback for Texas A&M this season. They did lose their two best receivers from last year. Evan Stork goes to Oregon. They lose another one to the NFL. Still going to have a lot of talent, though, at receiver, running back. They bring in a lot of guys. Going to be kind of running back by committee, but should be very good. Offensive line, they have two excellent tackles up front that should kind of lead the way for them. Defensively, last year, A&M had one of the best front sevens, one of the best pass rushes in the SEC. It's going to be a little bit of a drop-off. Still should be pretty solid on that side of the ball. And their new coach, Mike Elko, who comes over from Duke. If you watch Duke play the last couple years, Mike Elko was one of those guys who always got the most out of his teams. And they always played physical. They always played tough. So I expect to see that out of Texas A&M this year. When you look at the schedule, folks, the first thing that jumps out, how brutal is the home schedule this year for Texas A&M? You watch college football, you know that the Aggies have one of the best, not only home field advantages in college football, but maybe in all of sports, especially when that place is rocking. There's a reason that they call it the 12th man, because when the Aggies are good, when there are big games, that home field environment is no joke. And now that the SEC, the prime games, are going to be the ABC night game instead of that CBS 3:30, 2:30 game, depending on which time zone you live in, it's going to be massive. We know night games are always, always, always tougher to play in than day games. We were handicapping Penn State like a month ago. We were talking about how their whiteout game this year is against Washington and it's not against Ohio State, which I think is a huge advantage for Ohio State. A&M's home schedule this year is really tough, but a lot of these games are going to be played at home. Week one against Notre Dame is probably the week one game I am most looking forward to. So many storylines there, and such a big game for both teams. A&M can really get that signature non-conference win that they're looking for. Notre Dame obviously doesn't play in a conference. Notre Dame is never able to be a top four team in the college football playoff because they don't play in a conference. So when they get these mega matchups, they really got to make them count. If they win this game, they might be in the college football playoff with the way that the rest of their schedule sets up. So they get Notre Dame at home. They also get Missouri at home. We talked about them earlier in the week. They're going to be really good. They get LSU at home this year, and then they also get Texas at home as that rivalry is back. Can't wait for that to end the year. So it is a difficult home schedule. But look, I mean, there's a good chance the Notre Dame game we know is going to be at night. There's a good chance Texas and Texas A&M probably is going to be the night game during rivalry week as well for the SEC. LSU and A&M certainly could be a night game as well. So that is something I would monitor with A&M is all their hardest games, for the most part, are at home this season. And I think they're getting a big advantage that most of those games are going to be at night as well. Their win total is sitting at 8.5 wins. The over-under, the over is minus 120. The under is plus 100. So actually, odds makers are expecting A&M to win 9 games at least this season. Again, that home schedule. You look at those 4 games, Notre Dame, Missouri, LSU, and Texas. Let's say A&M goes 2-2, right? So at most, they can win 10 games. Now, even though the road schedule isn't necessarily difficult, they don't have to play Bama this year, Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee. They avoid a lot of the top teams, but Auburn's a tough place to play. Mississippi State can be a tricky place to play. Florida, certainly early on in the season when there's still hope and expectation, especially if they beat Miami week one. The Swamp is always a difficult place to play. It's year one under Mike Elko. I just think it's going to be tough. I really like the under for A&M this season. I think they're going to make a bowl game, absolutely, but I think they're going to be more of a 7, maybe an 8-win team. Just think the schedule's tough. That Texas A&M Notre Dame game, if you asked me a month ago, I would have completely stayed away from it. The game's a pick 'em. I wouldn't have known what to do. The more that I kind of think about it, though, having a first-year head coach in college football really is big. Because, again, you come in, it's a new system, there's no preseason in college football. For Mike Elko to jump in right away and for his first game to be home against Notre Dame, when Notre Dame's got a lot of expectations this year, Marcus Freeman's kind of entering the part in his tenure where people are expecting him to make the college football playoff, start to compete for national championships. Elko's going up against his former college quarterback in Riley Leonard, who he had at Duke for a couple years. I think I like Notre Dame more and more in that game. I think they probably lose to Texas at the end of the year. Then I think there's a chance that maybe they could lose one of those games to LSU and Missouri as well. I think they slip up a couple times on the road also. So once again, it looks like odds makers are giving Texas A&M more credit than they probably should. I see value on the under here. So I'll go under 8.5 wins for Texas A&M for the upcoming season. Like it quite a bit at even money too, plus 100. All right, let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys next here on Send It In. Another team that seemingly always has expectations every single year. The Cowboys are trying to go back-to-back winning the NFC East, something that has not been done in that division in over 20 years. They are plus 150. Eagles are the favorite to win the division. We talked about them yesterday. Dallas right behind them at plus 150. Cowboys to make the playoffs this year, minus 210. To make it, to miss it, they are plus 170. Dallas to win the Super Bowl is 18-1, and for them to win the NFC is plus 850. Cowboys right now, odds makers expecting them to be about a 10-win team. The over 9.5 wins for the Cowboys is minus 145. The under is minus 190. For all the talk about Dallas in the playoffs, and rightfully so, because one of my favorite NFL stats is the only two NFC teams since 2000 that have never made it to the NFC title game is the Cowboys and the Commanders. Those are the only two teams out of the NFC. So we know Dallas' struggles in the postseason. However, you can't deny how good they've been in the regular season the last 3 years. They've won at least 12 games the last 3 seasons. They know how to win in the regular season. With that being said, they have lost a lot in the offseason. Their running back, they're rolling out Zeke as their number one running back again as he comes back to Dallas from New England. CeeDee Lamb's one of the best receivers in football, no question. Outside of him, though, what kind of production is Dallas going to get from their receiving core? Offensive line is still better than average, but they do lose a couple of pieces off front. And defensively, they got one of the best players in football, period, in Micah Parsons. They brought over some guys in the offseason. Trayvon Diggs comes back from his ACL tear. Richard Bland had a great year last year for them. It just feels like maybe there's a little regression coming as well from Dallas on the defensive side of the ball. And folks, look at this schedule. Mike McCarthy, we know he's on the hot seat this season. There's no question about it. And look at the schedule that Dallas has to open up the season. The AFC North, top to bottom, is the best division in football. And they're an excellent conference when they go up against the NFC. It's just the way it's been the last couple of years. San Francisco last year lost to three of the AFC teams. They lost to the Bengals, they lost to the Browns, and they lost to the Ravens. The year before that, the AFC North went 15-1 against the NFC South. Just what the AFC North does. Lamar's only lost one game in his career to the NFC, period. Joe Burrow's very good against the NFC. The Browns have been very good against the NFC. And the fact that Dallas has to play three of those teams in the first 5 weeks is very difficult. Then you get the Lions on top of that. I think there's a very real possibility Dallas could be 2-4 before the bye week hits. And then after the bye week hits, you got to play San Francisco, you got to play Atlanta, Philly, and Houston. All four of those teams right now are favored to win their division. It's a brutal schedule. And for a team and a coach that's on a hot seat this year, a quarterback that's looking for a new contract, if they get off to a rocky and a bumpy start, it's going to be, and especially being the Dallas Cowboys and all the media coverage that comes along with that, I think it could be a long first month and a half for the Dallas Cowboys. So, look, they've won 12 straight games at least the last 3 years. They know how to win in the regular season. I like Dak better than most, especially in the regular season. But the way that the schedule sets up, and it just feels like the Cowboys at some point are due for a little regression, I think this is another under that I would look at. I would go under 9.5 wins for Dallas at plus 120. Think it's worth a shot taking them to miss the playoffs as well at plus 170. Where I do like Dallas this season is in the individual futures market. I think CeeDee Lamb's a great bet to win Offensive Player of the Year at 10-1. He was an absolute beast last year. And again, I mean, they really don't have much of a running game, and they really don't have too much of a proven number two or number three receiver. Brandon Cooks has obviously done it for a long time, but he's not getting any younger. So I think Lamb, 10-1, would be my pick to win Offensive Player of the Year. And then Micah Parsons is the favorite to win Defensive Player of the Year. There's no reason to think he's not going to have another sensational season. So I think he could be worth a good bet as well. So Micah and CD, two bets that I like. But Dallas as a team would look under 9.5 wins at them at plus 120. And also for them to miss the playoffs at plus 170. Let's go to Model Making Money now. Check in with Matt Horner. Get his thoughts on everything going on right now. And Matt, what are the five-star plays that BetQL has for us today?
Yeah, so it's going to be another fade of Dean Kramer. We're going to go with the Toronto Blue Jays today against the Baltimore Orioles. Model just really does not like Mr. Kramer. It fades him quite a bit. Sees the Blue Jays should be minus 170 today on the model. Obviously, it's going to like getting around minus 105 or so with the Toronto Blue Jays. So once again, another fade of Kramer, another play on the price. Give us the Blue Jays here as a five-star play on the money line against your Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, Matt, I can't blame the model there. Dean Kramer's a guy that I would fade as well. How about your best bet today? What do you like on the diamonds, your favorite play?
Yeah, so we're going to an afternoon game, a lot of early games today. We're going to take the Mets and the Rockies under 11 runs. Taking it under in Coors Field, extremely scary. I know this. It's very difficult to do, but I push that button today. David Peterson is on the mound for the Mets. He's a left-hander going up against the Rockies offense that has been horrendous against lefties this year, 79 WRC plus. Peterson is a regression candidate. He's not very good, but what I do love about him is he limits hard contact, 0.91 home run through nine rate this year, and a 55% ground ball rate. I think if he can keep the ball on the ground today, he can keep the Rockies off the scoreboard a bit. On the other side, Austin Gomber, also not very good. He's like in the mid-4 expected ERAs. But at the same time, the Mets, I know they're great. I understand this. but I think it's a little overplayed with his hard contact rates. He plays all the time in Coors Field, and I think it's just a little overstated there. Plus the weather today, 70 degrees at first pitch. Very cool, honestly, for this time of the year. Plus you have winds blowing in from right field, projected about 10 miles per hour. So I think the weather gives us an advantage here for an under. I think 11 is just a little too high of a total for this game. So give me the under 11 runs in the Mets and the Rockies, and let's pray for a Coors Field under.
All right, I like it. I like it. I got something from that game coming up in a little bit during Big League Peach. But Matt, another. What else do you like in baseball today, whether it be maybe a home run prop, a player prop? What are you on today?
Yeah, actually, my favorite offense of the day, I'm going to use this spot to promote the MLB props article over at BetQL.com. My favorite offense of the day was the Padres going up against Luis Ortiz. They've already scored 4 runs in 2 innings. Manny Machado, I had him to hit a home run in the article at plus 575 over at BetMGM. We already cashed that, hit a home run immediately. Nice. So, yeah, I'm just go to the props article, guys. I'm telling you, it's been hot recently. Offenses have been hot in baseball. So the props article has been on fire. So head over there and check it out.
Love it. Love it. Speaking of San Diego, their offense is on a heater, and so is their team. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. Arizona in that division, Matt, is also playing really good baseball. I mean, the Dodgers all year have been heavy, heavy favorites to win this division. But we got a lot of baseball left, and the Dodgers are only 3 games up against both of those teams. Do you think there's cause for concern a little bit for LA? Could you make a case for Arizona or San Diego to win that division, or you still think it's going to be the Dodgers?
Yeah, honestly, I've talked about how I love San Diego. I think they can definitely win this division. I think they're honestly the best overall team right now in the division. So I'd be sprinkling San Diego here. The Dodgers are still extremely talented, don't get me wrong. They have a lot of injuries. Once they get some of these guys back, like Mookie Betts, Max Muncy, and some of these guys, they're still going to be good. I mean, they're a top 10 team against lefties and righties in terms of WRC+. They have a great bullpen, top 10 in xFIP. Starting pitching, little worrisome, but still a great team overall. Arizona's been really hot lately. They've gotten a lot better offensively. But overall here, I think the value on the Padres is the best. Sprinkled them for the World Series, sprinkled them for the NL, sprinkled them for the division. So I like the Padres.
Yeah, Padres plus 600 to win the NL West. Arizona plus 800. Again, both those teams just 3 games back of the Dodgers. Matt, let's talk about your team. The White Sox made a move today to get rid of their manager. Your thoughts on that, and are we going to be back in the White Sox in their next game? Something that I always love across any sport is whenever a team gets rid of a coach, manager, whatever it may be, I'm backing them in their next game. Do you think that could be potentially an angle for the White Sox in their next game?
I will never bet the White Sox, no matter what anybody tells me, no matter what anybody says. I will not place money on the Chicago White Sox. I just won't do it. Firing Grifol, like, it doesn't really matter. This team is filled with toxicity. It starts at the very top, the ownership. Totally incompetent, cheap. They're one of only 2 organizations that never get out a contract of 100 plus million. They're so bad. They're stuck in just perpetual emptiness. The best thing I could say about the White Sox is that they're just there. Like, that they don't have a hope of winning. I don't know. It's awful. Firing Grifol really does nothing for them. And I could sit here and complain about the White Sox forever, but I'm not going to. There's a lot more interesting topics than the Chicago White Sox.
There are, including the U.S. and Serbia men's game coming up today at 3 p.m. Eastern. I'm excited for this game, right? U.S. with a dominating performance against Brazil in the quarterfinal round. We know Serbia's got Jokic. They got Bogdanovic. These two teams played in the very first game of the Olympics. So Serbia has already seen the U.S. Matt, you're much like me. You love value. And the first time these two teams met, U.S. was favored by 12.5. They were up to 16.5 at some point. Now they're down to 15.5. Any plays for you on U.S. and Serbia today?
Yeah, if I had to pick a side, I would take Serbia plus the points here. My favorite bet, though, honestly, is Anthony Edwards under 12.5 points. Taking a look at what he's done, he has the third fewest minutes per game, 17.7. He's scoring 16.7 points per game on 63.3% shooting, including 53.8% from 3. He's shooting lights out. It's really been unbelievable how well he's been shooting. These lineups are going to start to tighten a bit as we go on further here, and I think that's just unsustainable for Edwards, quite honestly. So my favorite bet is Edwards under 12.5 points. And if I had to pick a side, I would go with Serbia here. I just think that's a tad too many points at 15.5. They're a very talented team, quite honestly.
They are. I'm excited for that game. We got France up right now, 69-63 on Germany with 2:20 to go in the fourth quarter. Matt, before I let you leave, Dallas Cowboys, obviously one of the most polarizing teams in the NFL in terms of how much that we talk about them because of how much media that they get. What are your thoughts on Dallas this year?
Yeah, last year I backed them. Looking back, I thought it was a really good play backing them last year. They got pretty far, but ultimately they disappointed me. This year, I'm going to be fading them. I do not like the Cowboys at all this year, these contract talks with Dak. Their defense is really solid, but as you were talking about earlier, due for some regression as well. This is just not a team to me that I feel is going to be very successful. I love the Eagles, personally, in this division a lot. I think Jalen Hurts has a lot to prove. He's proving that last year was the fluke and not the year prior. And I just think the Eagles have a very solid team, and the Cowboys, no, going to be fading them this year.
All right, yeah, I'm with you. I'm down on the Cowboys as well. Matt, always great stuff, man. Good luck on all your bets, and we'll catch up again soon.
Sure thing.
Absolutely. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale. It's unbeatable analysis of spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, time for a little big league page. We give out some baseball bets on the diamond today. Give you some updates on some scores right now going on in Major League Baseball. Giants and the Nats in a rain delay right now. They moved the game up to noon Eastern time to try and avoid the rain. And as I peek over my shoulder, looks like there is some rain as we're right by Nats Park. So that game suspended. Brewers are up 7-0 right now on the Braves in the third inning. We also got the Padres, as Matt mentioned, up 4-0 on the Pirates as well. So a couple of lopsided scores in those games early. We got the Mets and Rockies coming up 3:10 p.m. Eastern time today out in Coors, total of 10.5. David Peterson against Austin Gomber. Mets are -160. Rockies are +135. I am looking today at a couple player props. Francisco Lindor, 4-for-14 in his career against Austin Gomber, so maybe a guy to target today at the plate. David Peterson, though, the pitcher for the Mets, I'm looking at him. Over 1.5 walks issued for Peterson. Four of his last five games, he's issued 2 or more walks. He's had a little bit of trouble with control. I think only having to lay -125 for him to throw 2 or more walks today is a good bet. So I'll take the over there with David Peterson. Reds and the Marlins today in Miami, total of 7.5, 6:10 p.m. Eastern time, first pitch. Cincinnati -175 in the money line. The Marlins are +145. We got Hunter Green going for Cincinnati, Kyle Tyler going for Miami. Hunter Green has been ridiculous in his last four starts. 2 hits or fewer given up in his last four starts. Been unhittable. It's been great. He had 11 punchouts in his last start, too. I think just the way baseball works, like Green's been so good, and now he's going up against one of the worst offenses in baseball. You would think, again, he's probably going to go 6 or 7 innings tonight, only going to give up 1 or 2 hits. But all these Marlins guys are looking for a roster spot. They're looking to make a name for themselves in baseball. Marlins are looking for these young building blocks that they can build around. So I will take Hunter Green over 4.5 hits today at +105. Then we got the Angels and the Yankees today in the Bronx, 7:05 p.m. Eastern time, first pitch, total of 8.5. Tyler Anderson against Nestor Cortez. The Yanks are -250. The Angels are +200. I'm looking at the Yanks on the run line today. -1.5 at -120. The Angels won 8-2 yesterday against the Yankees. They beat them up pretty good. Think the Yankees bounce back today. Tyler Anderson, I feel like we had Matt on last week. He talked about what a great regression candidate Tyler Anderson is, who was spectacular for the first half of the season for the Angels. He struggled a little bit as of late, and pitching at Yankee Stadium today against that Yankee lineup, I will go with the Yankees -1.5 on the run line at -120. Then we got that Orioles-Blue Jays game today in Toronto, 7:07 p.m. Eastern time, first pitch. Total of 9. Dean Kramer going up against Kevin Gausman. There's a guy that I'm targeting today, and that is Ryan Mountcastle. If you listened to the show before, guys, there are certain hitters against certain teams that they just are killers against those teams. And Ryan Mountcastle against the Blue Jays is an absolute monster. 6-for-21 in his career against Kevin Gausman. I'll take him to hit a home run today at plus 600. I think that's a really good price. I'll go over 1.5 total bases as well at plus 115. So give me Mountcastle today against the Blue Jays. We got the Tampa Bay Rays in St. Louis today to take on the Cardinals with a total of 8. 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time, first pitch. Shane Baz going up against Kyle Gibson. St. Louis minus 125 on the money line. The Rays are plus 105. Really no thoughts for me. Baz, since coming back from injuries, pretty much given up 2 earned runs just about in all of his starts. Kyle Gibson's kind of been up and down for St. Louis. He has a couple starts where he pitches really well. Then he has another start where he doesn't do too well. We've seen some money come in on St. Louis from a little bit. They've gone from minus 125 to minus 130, so I'm going to stay away from that game. Tigers and Mariners in Seattle tonight, total of 7, 9:40 p.m. Eastern Time, first pitch. Another low total of 7. Yesterday it was 6. It was 3-2 in the ninth inning. Tigers scored 3 runs to cash the over. Brian Wu going for Seattle today. Detroit has not named a starter yet, and I would actually lean towards the over today. Been some more runs in this series than I thought they would be, especially in the later innings. I'm thinking with Detroit not knowing who they're going to start today, probably going to be an opener. Brian Wu's had a nice year for Seattle. I think this total should maybe be 7.5, 8, though. I'll go over the 7. And then favorite play of the day in baseball is going to be the Phillies and the Diamondbacks. We're going over the 9.5 today in Arizona. Pick them on the money line, minus 110. D-backs, again, one of the hottest teams in baseball. They've won 3 in a row. They've won 8 of their last 10 games. They're only 3 games back of the Dodgers. They're playing the Phillies, who are starting to get out of their rut a little bit. Harper's starting to hit again. Schwarber had 3 home runs yesterday. Phillies are starting to play a little bit better baseball. I think it's going to be a really good game today. I think both offenses are going to perform very well. Both offenses clicking right now. We'll take the over 9.5. Jordan Montgomery and Colby Allard today for Arizona and Philly. All right, let's wrap the show. Little PJ's plays here on Send It In. We got a live update, though, from Paris right now as Germany is down 70-68 with 12 seconds to go. France just missed a shot. Germany got a rebound, and it looked like the guy got tripped and there would be a foul, but instead they call it out on Germany. So France is trying to stay alive here. Again, the winner advances to the gold medal game, takes on the U.S. and the Serbia coming up at 3 p.m. Eastern time. So we'll keep you posted if anything crazy goes on. Always love having a live game that we're sweating out during the show. As for going streaking today, give me Ryan Mountcastle against Kevin Gausman. 6-for-21 in his career against Gausman. Ryan Mountcastle has just owned the Blue Jays his entire career. Also sprinkle a home run at plus 600 today as well. Prop lock is going to be in the Mets and Rockies game. David Peterson over 1.5 walks allowed today against the Rockies. 4 of his last 5 starts, he's issued 2 walks or more. He's struggled a little bit with command. I think only having to lay minus 125 today over 1.5 walks, good value there on Peterson. Now, that will be my prop lock. Dog of the day is going to be in that Serbia-U.S. game. Serbia plus 15.5. Again, these two teams played the very first game of the Olympics. U.S. was favored by 12.5. U.S. won by 26. So naturally, with U.S. being undefeated in this tournament, Serbia needing a 20-point comeback to defeat Australia, U.S. was as large as 16.5-point favorites, now down to 15.5-point favorites. But at some point in this tournament, the U.S. is going to get challenged. Maybe it's by France or Germany. I think it's going to be by Serbia, though, a team that has already seen them in this tournament. We know Jokic is the best player in the world. Think he's going to be awesome today. I'll take Serbia to keep it close, plus 15.5 against the USA. Shawnee Sharp, what say you? What's your best bet today?
Yeah, Peach, I'm going to stay in that game as well. I'm going to Nikola Jokic over 7.5 assists at minus 120. Something that I find is really interesting here, to have the most assists in the game. Jokic is the biggest favorite going into it, the other one being LeBron, but him and LeBron have the same assist total at 7.5, so I think the market's kind of telling us that Jokic will easily go over this line here. And also, I love his value for triple-double. It's at plus 350. If Serbia wants a chance, Jokic's going to have a big game.
No doubt about it. Again, the International Olympic Games, only 40 minutes compared to the 48-minute games that we get in the NBA. So that's why you're getting such good value on a triple-double there for Jokic. My best bet today is going to be that Phillies Diamondbacks over at 9.5. Jordan Montgomery against Colby Allard. Two pitchers that aren't that great, aren't having that great of seasons, going up against two offenses that are clicking right now. Arizona's bats are starting to wake up. Philadelphia's are as well. So this total's high for a reason. 9.5. I think the over is the way to go in Phillies and D-backs. Once again, to recap our best bets for today, Ryan Mountcastle is our play in going streaking. David Peterson over 1.5 walks allowed at minus 125 is going to be my prop lock. Serbia plus 15.5 against the U.S. will be my dog of the day. Shawnee Sharp's going with Jokic over 7.5 assists and Jokic triple-double at plus 350. And my best bet, give me the Phillies D-backs over 9.5. Thanks again to Matt Horner for joining us today. David Teal joins us tomorrow to talk Virginia Tech as we finish up our ACC preview. Everybody have a great rest of your day. And as always, if you missed any part of the show, check out the Send It In podcast. Like, rate, subscribe, review. Let us know what you think. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.